Give Us This Day is a devotional reflection upon the New Testament lesson appointed for the morning office from the Book of Common Prayer 1928. These devotionals are written and presented by Father Charles Erlinson, who serves at the Church of the Good Shepherd in Tyler, Texas. Father Charles' devotionals can be found both in print and online.
Today is Wednesday of the Sunday next before Advent. The lesson is taken from 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10a.
But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring unto themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government.
There is a dark side of many of the New Testament epistles, but it occurs in some form in just about every New Testament letter. It is the subject of false teachers. I have avoided it in my meditation so far because it hasn't directly been a part of my experience, and it doesn't make for the easiest of subjects to meditate on. I feel very safe in the Reformed Episcopal Church, but the truth is you can never be too safe, and no one is completely safe from false teachers. St. Peter makes it quite clear. Just as there were false prophets in the days of the prophets, there will be false teachers among the churches to whom Peter is writing. Not there may be, but there will be. This puts a chill on my spine, like I'm watching a horror movie, and know that Freddy Krueger or Alien will be coming to get me, but I don't know when or where. These false teachers will secretly bring in destructive heresies, denying the Lord who bought them. Be on the lookout for them. They will come. The bad news is they will come secretly at first. They will not be so bold as to trumpet that they are teaching heresy, though actually some have now gotten so bold after decades of not being restrained. They will whisper to you that your faith will save you, with little mention of the grace of God, and will treat faith as if it were some mystical force that could be transmitted through TV screens. They will tell you that it doesn't matter how you live in this life as long as you have this faith. They will say that Jesus Christ isn't the only means to salvation, and that such a belief would be exclusivistic, and they will tell you that man is basically good. One of their favorite tactics has been to go to work on the Bible and undermine its authority in every way possible. To the studious and rational-minded, they will seduce you into thinking that the Bible is not the Word of God, but only contains the Word of God, or it only potentially is the Word of God, or when they have gotten bold enough that it isn't even the Word of God at all. They will lead you to believe that the Bible is full of errors and therefore can't be trusted. I was amazed and appalled at how many Bible-believing Christians I knew actually gave the Da Vinci Code the time of day when that book first came out, for that book taught error so clearly that it shouldn't have been entertained for even a nanosecond. They will teach you the method of divining the truth in the Bible by using your finger as if it were a divining rod, and will magically turn to the isolated verse you need for the day. And they will teach you that you are a prophet and a presbyter, and are the church and therefore have the authority to interpret the Bible all by yourself. They will discourage you from reading what Christians have believed for the past 2,000 years, and will lead you to only to carefully selected 21st century teachings. They will be covetous, verse 3, and they will covet your money. They will covet you because every one of you they can get to watch their show or read their book or go to their church is another notch in their belt. If you suspect that a teacher you know might be covetous, Just ask if you could see Jesus or St. Paul riding in the car he drives or living in the house he lives in. Peter brings up the example of righteous Lot, which I think is very relevant today because of the sexual temptation pastors and teachers often face. One of the statistics I share when meditating on 1 Timothy 5 was that 37% of pastors admitted to having been involved in an inappropriate relationship. Sexual temptation for pastors is one of the primary causes of a fall. If it was good enough for Solomon, why not Jimmy Swaggart, Jim Baker, Ted Haggard, and countless others? Remember, both the teaching and the life of our teachers and pastors are crucial. Don't ignore it when you see your pastor acting in ways that may be inappropriate. If you have any true knowledge of his misbehavior, you are to hold him accountable. They will work secretly at first to catch you off guard and to trap those who are still drinking milk, those who haven't been willing to show up for Sunday school, and those who think studying the Bible and theology is a waste of time. It has become increasingly clear that in the church formerly called the Episcopal Church, USA, ECUSA, which now prefers to be called the Episcopal Church, TEC, the false teachers have been loose for decades. They came in secretly at first. They said they just wanted freedom of theological speculation, to bring back a social conscience to the church, to fight for individual freedoms, and to be relevant. And within a few decades, they have brought that church to ruin. This isn't the place to name names, but part of my job as a shepherd is to guard my little flock. And anything I can do to help even my virtual flock reading or hearing give us this day, I am supposed to do. Such false teachers are very prevalent today. Many of the ones on TV are not teaching the true gospel, but only some distortion of it. Many of the most successful churches and Christian books are so successful precisely because they leave out the call to discipleship and the path of the cross, promising instead God's blessing by following the broad and easy path. Please be vigilant. The false teachers today will look different than they did in Peter's day. They will come as entertainers disguised as pastors, and they will teach you, indirectly of course, that to be a Christian is to be entertained, and that the dusty, old, dry call to the cross is a hangover from the Middle Ages and went out with flagellation. They will seduce you with choice, for you will be able to find the teacher of your choice on TV or in your favorite Christian bookstore. From the outside, all of these books will look alike, and after all, if they're in a Christian bookstore, then they must be okay. They have even given you the choice of churches, so that if your own pastor has dared to confront you with sin in your life, or if you feel unfulfilled at your own church or just don't feel the Spirit, you have an excuse to choose something else. I'm not talking, of course, about legitimate reasons to leave a church that is not shepherding you. But God will not be mocked. A teacher and pastor who is godly is worthy of a double honor, but a false teacher will receive a greater punishment than those whom they have led astray. Peter says they will bring on themselves swift destruction, verse 1. But the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority, verse 10. God will protect his people, but he has recruited you as a means to protecting his sheep. Watch your pastor's teaching and his life. This applies to anyone whose teaching you are subjecting yourself to, whether in person, by book, by TV, or by internet. Be a Berean, as they say, and check out what every teacher is teaching, especially if it sounds like it's heading in the wrong direction. Be especially afraid of any man who presumes to be a teacher and yet despises authority, verse 10. Watch out for any teacher who is unaccountable to the church and who is teaching on his own authority. Finally, pray for those who are teachers and pray that you and those who you know will be preserved from false teachers. The best way to fight off false teachers is to ordain and submit to godly teachers and pastors. They will teach you what will make you strong in the Lord. They have also taken a vow before God to drive away all false teachers. A godly teacher is your best security against the many false teachers out there today. But the most important thing you can do today is to guard the scriptures in your own life and in the lives of your children.
This has been a presentation of Always with Christ Radio in the Anglican Way.